When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
We're going to open the show with a new segment.
I don't know about this.
Now, I know you're going to drop. You might have a fall down, but I actually went out on the Twitter. I went out to my friends on the Twitter.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I did this by myself.
You know, by the way, guys, this is called Be Careful What You Wish For.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. So I went on the Twitter, uh-huh. And I said, hey,
crap,
fellow podcasters. I said, what's some stuff that we never talk about on the podcast that you'd love to hear Jillian talk about,
uh-huh,
right? And
uh-huh,
so I got quite a few things.
Why are you so excited? It's going to be awful, I can tell.
No, it won't be.
I feel like I'm about to go into like a torture device.
So I grabbed 4 things.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Yeah. There's a lot. It was a very good response. But here's 4 things.
I'm terrified.
No, don't be. Don't be. I wouldn't hurt you.
Oh,
I always have your back. I'd never hurt you.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Okay.
Physically. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is what is Jillian think. Okay, so medical marijuana.
What do I think?
Yeah, what do you think?
Jeez.
Which is...
Okay. I actually... First of all, I don't do drugs ever. I experimented when I was a kid. And actually hated them. Only because I'm a control freak. I don't like to feel out of control. Mm. So drugs are not for me personally. And I find I'm actually kind of, this is a terrible thing to say because a lot of people smoke marijuana and I'm sure it's about as harmful as a glass of wine. But like, I actually don't like stoners. I think that it just like deadens you to the world and it makes you a pothead, literally like a dope, like you're just numb. And I don't think that's hot. It's not for me. With that said, I can't negate. I did have a friend who had breast cancer and was going through chemo and they gave her medical marijuana to get her to eat. And
oh,
it
really
helped. It helped her with pain and it helped her with her appetite. So with regard to medicinal properties, I don't know anything about anything. I'm going to say, you know, it seems like it really helped my friend. So for medical marijuana, I would say HIV patients, cancer patients, great. Go with God. If a doctor says it's helpful and not harmful, super. on a personal level, if somebody wants to smoke pot, I kind of don't care. That's your business. I don't judge them. It's not for me. But if somebody wanted to buy marijuana and smoke it, go ahead. Like, it's your business. And I think that we get to tax, you know, we're a country that's like has a, you know, California is a bankrupt state at the moment. Imagine how much money you'd make taxing that stuff instead of filling up the jails with like little dope dealer. You know what I mean? You could regulate these things so there's standards and it's not, God knows, you don't get something laced with PCP. I know that drugs are really sketchy. You don't know where people are getting it. You don't know what they're doing to it. They're dangerous for that reason. If it was regulated by the government, at least you know you wouldn't be getting something laced with, like, angel dust or whatever.
Which the medical marijuana is. That's very strict guidelines. Growers are, you know.
It's like prohibition a little bit. I would like to see it being taxed. And I just think it's your body. If you obviously the same rules apply. You shouldn't be able to get in the car, all that stuff. But it's your body. If that's what you want to do with it, that's what you want to do with it. And for me, I just personally don't like.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Okay. Burning desire number two.
Yeah.
Your idols or idol.
Huh. Okay.
I know who you're going to say.
Who am I going to say? I actually have to think.
Madonna.
No, not Madonna. She's not my idol. She was when I was 12, though. But I do respect her tremendously.
I know you do. I know.
I really respect humanitarians. Can I go throughout history or is
sure.
it just like...
No, they just said she wanted to know your idols.
I really respect people like, it's so trite, but like I was reading a biography about Abraham Lincoln and he was an incredible, incredible man, obviously. But someone like that, I mean, it's just, this guy had been through hell and back. He'd lost children, he'd lost his mother, he lost his sister. People like Abraham Lincoln, people like Martin Luther King, people like Gandhi, people like Aung San Suu Kyi, you know, I'm not pronouncing that right, who's sort of like a freedom fighter in Burma. Nelson Mandela, when I read The Long Walk to, I think it was The Long Walk to Freedom, I can't remember the name of his book. It's like 1,000 pages long, his biography. What an incredible, I mean, people like that, I look to them and I just think like, the sacrifices, this guy went to jail for 21 years, Nelson Mandela. That's a third of his life, gone, a fourth of his life, whatever, fighting for freedoms and civil rights. It's just, I don't know. People like that are really, really, truly incredible to me. Because I'm just not that good of a person. I'm just not that selfless. So them. And I also really admire powerful, powerful women. I know this is going to be politically sort of anger people, but I love me some Hillary Clinton. I love her.
I
love her.
I love Hillary Clinton.
I love her ass so much. I just think she's awesome. She's such a badass. I mean, I just think she's great. I can't tell you I always agree with her politics, but a woman that gets that far in that kind of environment in a man's world, and she's so intelligent and just, again, I admire her ambition and her drive and her determination and the level of success she's achieved. And women like Madeleine Albright, women like Maria Shriver, that's women like, oh my God, Maya Angelou. I love her. Love. Those kinds of, Gloria Steinem. Wow. Just awesome. Humanitarians and then just very strong, powerful, ambitious women that are doing what they believe is good in the world. That was long-winded.
No, that was good. That was good. Okay. Superstitions.
God, I'm superstitious about everything. I am superstitious. So, okay.
You are? I've never seen
God,
you do the
Janet,
weird obsessive compulsive
so
stuff.
So superstitious. I feel like if ever I voice something out loud, it will immediately go wrong. So, for example, there have been times where I've said, oh my God, I haven't been sick in months, and next week I get sick. Or I'll go, I can't believe we haven't hit traffic. Within 1 minute,
yeah,
we're slam into a brick wall of traffic.
That's karma, isn't it? Isn't that
it's
a form
superstition.
Of karma?
Like, and Heidi screams at me now. She's like, babe, shut up. Like, I'll say, oh my God, Lou has slept through the night for a week.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah,
that
yeah.
night she's like, mama, mama, every hour on the hour. So I find that like if I acknowledge, I'm so afraid to be grateful and acknowledge it because I feel like the universe isn't looking or something. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, over here, ding, ding, ding. Come after me. It's been too smooth of a ride. Like I wait for that other shoe to drop. And I feel like if I acknowledge it, it will drop, which my shrink's like, that's absurd. You're not, you know, Gaia, queen of the universe. You can't manifest these things. And I'm like, no, no. No, I do.
Okay, but do you do you have those quirky, like obsessive, like when I get on a plane, I always with my right hand, I always touch the outside of the plane before I get on.
No,
and if I don't, I get out of my seat and I go out and touch it.
No,
you don't have any of that.
None of that. No, but I do get into things where, like, if I've had a good day, I'll use the same coffee cup until the day goes wrong. Then I'm like, God damn this coffee cup, and I throw it away. Or like if I wear a necklace and it's like things are going great, I'm like, I won't take the necklace off. And they'll always want me to take it off for like a shoot or like, oh my God, on season 4 when Bob and I hated each other. I mean, we hated each other. We wanted to kill each other. And I used to wear this little evil eye. And they wanted me to take it off. And I was like, no, because Bob will get me. And he laughs. He thinks I'm such an idiot. But I wouldn't take it off. And we had to do like a photo shoot or something for the show. And I took it off and I lost like one of my contestants that I didn't want to lose. And I was like, that's because I took off the evil eye. Yeah. Bob does that stuff, though. He's got like a thing with stoplights. Like he's like, if I make this light, my book will hit the bestseller list. If I, you know.
Oh, that's
bizarre. Yeah, he does that. I've done that before, too. I've done stuff like that where I'm like, if I shoot this into the trash and it goes in, I'll.
Something's going to happen.
Yes, this will go right.
Oh, I've never done that.
Yeah, and it never works out. Like, I used to do it on the beach. I was like, okay, if I find a piece of cobalt blue sea glass, I will get Lou home before June. I used to do that all the time. I don't know. It's superstition. It's just being kind of stupid, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
I don't know. I have all of it. I have it. But I don't have, like, the weird OCD stuff. That's just you.
Yeah, okay, I'll write that down. That's just Janice. Okay. We have time for one more Burning Desire.
Okay.
And then we'll see how this works. And if we don't like it after we listen to it, then we won't do the Burning Desires anymore.
Okay.
But here's the last one. This one makes me giggle. Okay.
No. Why are you giggling? It's not
because it's about sex.
No.
See? Then the reason why people have a burning desire for you to talk about sex is
what do you mean? Talk about what about it?
Whatever you want.
What do you mean, whatever I want?
I don't know. Like,
what are you? You're making this up.
No,
you're
right
lying
there.
About this.
It's right here from, hang on, Melinda.
What does she want to know?
She says, you know, it's sex, Jillian. Jillian squirms. Poor Jillian.
What am I supposed to talk? I don't understand. That's not a question.
Well, I don't know.
What do I think about it? I think it's good for your health. Do more of it. Huh? There you go.
Well, we had a sex discussion.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
I've never gotten over it.
No, because remember I told you about my move. And you said that
la,
your
la, 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 la.
You said your la, move la, always works.
La, la, la.
I said, no. You're a jerk.
Oh, God.
Oh, all right.
You answer the question.
Well, I don't really know what Melinda really wants.
See, just set me up.
No, I didn't. It was truly a burning desire, but I just wanted to see where you'd go with it. And you went about this far.
It's good for your health. Yeah.
Well,
do I look like Dr. Ruth to you? What do you want me to give? Advice? I don't know.
Give us a, throw us a bone.
About
you?
What?
I don't know. Just like.
Janice, I have 2 kids. How much sex do you actually think I'm having? One of them actually sleeps in my room right now. Okay. I mean, literally, I look at Heidi and I'm like this. Okay, night, night. Mwah. I mean, what are you talking about? 2 kids. 2 of them.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Mark, who is filling in today because Jake is away. Uh-huh. Mark has a question then about monogamy.
Mark has a question? You have a question about monogamy?
No, with sex.
A suggestion.
Okay.
Monogamous. Yeah. Oh. I do believe in it, but I'm a woman. So I think all women believe in monogamy. I think men have a hard time with monogamy because of their biochemical makeup. I do believe in it. I would kill, like, I'm jealous, man. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not jealous until I have a reason to be jealous. But if you give me a reason to be jealous, I'm jealous. Like, I wouldn't be. I'm not into the. No. No. I'm a monogamous. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Is that enough for crying out
loud? All right. I wanted to play.
Can you imagine if I said I don't believe in monogamy at all? Woo-hoo! Let's get it on. Come on, guys. Let's do it. What are you talking about?
People.
Free love.
Oh, right. We'll let you off the hook.
Jeez.
Oh, we got to stop. We got to stop. Yeah, you're lucky. Gone. You know what? You are lucky. See, I saved it for the
lucky.
Last in case.
God, well, you're trying to turn me into a swinger.
No, I'm not trying to.
I think of monogamy
we just,
as though I would walk into that trap.
We just like to know little tidbits. We want to just give us a little bone. Just
of course I'm monogamous.
No, I don't just mean my, that's the sex thing. You know, just.
Oh, God. Moving on.
Yeah, whatever.
Someone kill me.
Okay. Hey,
shoot me in the head. I want to die right now.
Okay.
I want to be dead.
This is the end of the Burning Desire segment.
Thank God.
Thanking you.
Ugh.
So we have a special guest today.
We sure do. We sure do.
I'm not going to bug you to do fitness segments. I'm not going to bug you to do
Thank
anything.
Thank God.
I'm not going to. I'm just going to let you talk to her.
Suzanne Summers is on.
I know.
Talking about her new, of course, best-selling book. I'm almost mad at her. It's her 23rd book, and every single one is like, oh, yeah, I only sold a couple million copies of that one. It's, like, unbelievable. But the truth, 23rd, and every one is, like, a blowout bestseller. And the thing is, she is on the forefront. She is a pioneer. She educates herself with doctors on the forefront of everything from adult stem cell research to eradicating cancer. I just think she's awesome. I love her to death. I think she's a badass. And I love that she pushes the envelope. I love that she makes us think. I love that she's controversial. And by the way, I love that she does everything she talks about. And it's like she puts her money where her mouth is. She walks the talk, talks the walk. And her information is going to blow your mind today. I can't wait for you to hear my girl talk. You know why she's on the show? Because she's my bud.
You're her bud.
No, I'm her buddy. Buddy. She likes me. I'm her pal.
How come you get to be her pal?
Because I'm famous. Famous and cool. But now you're in my wake. Your stare was holding. Red jeans, skin was showing. Hot night wind was blowing. Where you think you're going, baby? Hey, I just met you.
Okay, today on the show, we have a woman who I personally adore and look up to and think, quite frankly, is a pioneer and a genius. And everything she's doing is opening up all new avenues of medicine for, honestly, those of us who don't have the means to do so. You can surely imagine I'm talking about Suzanne Summers, and I am so excited to have her on the show today talking about her new book, Bombshell, Explosive Medical Secrets That Will Redefine Aging. Suzanne, thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Pleasure.
So, of course, it's already a New York Times bestseller. I mean, how does that make you feel?
I'm lucky in that I've written so many books, and you understand this because you have the same thing. My constituency trusts me, and they usually now make my books a bestseller before they're even out. So, you know, bless them.
And this is your 23rd book.
I'm Irish. You know, we either drink or write. I do both.
Well, you do a hell of a job at writing. That I can't speak for the drinking part, but the writing thing you're brilliant at. And I wanted to ask you because I've actually read all of your books pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that when you're looking to sort of say, all right, what's coming up? What's on the horizon? What do I need to be thinking about, knowing about? You're always the one that's there first. And I wanted to ask you, with Bombshell,
Why is this book different than the others? And why were you compelled to write it? Tell us a little bit about it. What's it about?
Well, you know, cutting edge alternative science is growing exponentially. And usually by the time I finish a book, so much new stuff has come out. I can't wait to get to the next one. But this one, I was looking at how we age and realizing that because I turned 65 this year, and I thought, when you're 65, you're either supposed to retire or die, and I'm so nowhere near that. But then I looked down the road at how people are aging who are older than I am, and it's not pleasant. It's not something that any of us want. It's usually decrepit, frail, all pilled up. They're on so many drugs that they can't think anymore. Their bones won't hold them up. And then they end up in a nursing home, and we almost kind of expect that that's how the end point is going to be. So this question, this book asks the question, if you're looking at that and that's not what you want, then what are you doing about it to change that paradigm? Because those people who are sitting in the nursing homes right now, this is not what they wanted. And I think that they innocently bought into the fact that, gee, all these new frozen foods and chemical foods and foods in bags and boxes and cleaning our house with all the chemicals was safe. And we now really realize, at least a lot of us, that it wasn't safe and that there's a better way to age. And if we could age and hold on to our brains and our bones, which gives us quality of life, then why wouldn't you make the changes today to do that? So that's what's in this book.
You know, it's funny, you talk about being 65 and how your generation is looking at aging and you're redefining the culture of aging. But I can tell you that at 38, my generation is getting cancer and heart disease.
How could it not be? I think your age group and younger is at most risk because you've been exposed to chemicals in most cases since you were in the womb by well-meaning mothers drinking diet soda. So
yes.
I think that young people, and that's who I'm really targeting in this book. I'm not targeting people who are old or almost old or about to be old. I'm targeting people who are young. Of pay attention, because what you're seeing that you don't like is most likely what's going to happen to you, and younger than it's ever happened before because of the chemicals. One of the things that I was able to uncover in this book is a new specialty of environmental doctors, environmental medicine. And it's a new specialty because it was never necessary before. And these are doctors who take people who are just not able to cope with the environment. There's this one doctor in Dallas. His name is Dr. William Ray. And he said, by the time somebody finds me, they've been to about 25 different doctors, and they have been diagnosed with MS or fibromyalgia or cancer or any of the autoimmune diseases, lupus or any of those things. And what they're finding is it's not really – those are incorrect diagnoses, although now they're on this medicine that's really going to destroy their health. It's the toxins. So what Dr. Ray does – he detoxes all this crap out of your body. This one doctor I interviewed in the last book, he's a cancer doctor, but he deals with cancers. Dr. Nick Gonzalez, he deals with cancer nutritionally. I put him in this book too because I think what he has to say is so important. And he said, you know, cancer is manageable. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you give cancer what it wants, it'll leave you alone. I said, what does it want? He said, it wants good nutrition and a detox body. And if you clean out the body of all the toxins and chemicals and free radicals, and you feed that body ultimate fuel, the cancer has no reason to grow a new self, even if there's already cancer in the body. I probably wouldn't have believed it, but I interviewed 17 of his patients. These two old ladies I talked to, one was 70 and one was 74. I guess they're not that much older than me now. And one had stage 4 ovarian cancer for 12 years. The other one had stage 4 breast 17 years ago. They did not have their cancer removed from their body. They went on Dr. Gonzalez's protocol. They eat organic. They do 2 coffee enemas a day. They take all the pancreatic enzymes. So the coffee enemas detox the liver in a way that nothing else can, because our livers are so, you know, groaning. And they're a perfect example of managing cancer. So maybe this whole cancer thing, we've made it too technical.
Overcomplicated it.
Clearly, the protocol in standard of care of cancer rarely works. You know, somebody took me to task on that. Are you kidding? You know, and I said, "What? Well, they haven't made much progress." I said, "Let me put it this way. Let's say someone tells you you have pancreatic cancer. You have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. What do you say? Oh, it's okay. I'll just have a little chemo and it'll all be okay." You know that's not the answer. So there must be another answer. And if you feed your body right, and you know this better than anybody.
Yeah, I do.
You feed it through exercise and you detox it, I think you can live without disease. And if you have disease, manage the disease you have.
You know, I have a question for you. I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I get it a lot. And I'm the person at home and I'm thinking to myself, okay, first of all, this woman has all the money in the world to live this way. And she's doing all this crazy stuff, taking a million vitamins a day and all these injections. And I can't do that. And this isn't accessible to me. I don't want to go through. I know you've been through like your daily routine a million times. And I think everyone knows it's an intense routine.
Yes.
With that said, I'm the average person at home.
Right.
And it seems inaccessible to me. And I'm going to get into also the procedures that you did on your YouTube show and everything. But tell me, I'm the person at home. How is this accessible to me? What advice can the average person follow that you would recommend that they do every day?
First of all, I think that I spend less than the average person that goes allopathic, although in that case, here's the difference. Insurance will pay for medicines that create side effects that require more medicines, which create side effects, which create more medicines. So vitamins, I do take a blood test and it determines my deficiencies and I replace what's missing from our food and soil. If I didn't have much or any money, I would do without something if I was of the right age to replace my hormones. Quality of life, you're not there yet, but when you get there, and you've had PMS, right?
Oh, is that a trick question? Yes.
Okay, well, when you go into full-blown perimenopause and menopause, it's like having PMS every day. And as you and I both know, it feels so real.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I can always tell, by the way, that I'm about to get my period because I not only is my body a mess, but I feel on the edge of, like, true depression. I'm like, oh, my God, just everything's wrong and nothing's wrong. It's incredible.
Or you have to punch somebody, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just mentally, it's dark.
Right. I always say to women when I start a lecture, I go, first of all, let me just start by saying you are not crazy.
Oh my God. Why is that so comforting, by the way?
It is.
So comforting.
I thought I was. So my hormones. Okay. I the blood test is the most expensive part. That's a couple $100.
Okay.
I do a blood test once a year. But you don't really have to once you get on hormones. My hormones, my bioidentical hormones, are about $65 a month. I know for a lot of people, they don't have $65 a month. But that's all it is.
Oh, gosh. I actually thought it was in the hundreds of dollars for like HGH supplementation. And
okay. HGH, you're going into another arena.
Okay. Sorry. So let's.
HGH is.
You're talking about like.
More of an elite. A hormone. Not everyone can afford HGH. And what a shame if our government understood that HGH will support your bones, your heart, your brain, your immune system.
Yeah.
So that you have less opportunity to get sick. It would be proactive if they would pay for it, but they won't. And so I always say, don't get mad. Just try to work around it. There are ways through supplementation that you can push whatever little HGH you're still making. But so let's forget HGH for a minute.
Okay.
Let's
so we're talking about like estrogen and progesterone.
Right.
Got it.
And for women, To understand hormones, you have to, you know what a teeter-totter is? You know, it's kind of goes like that.
Absolutely.
So we have major hormones and minor hormones. Let's say the minors are on this side and the majors are here. So the minors are estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Over here is the majors. It's insulin, thyroid, adrenal, cortisol. So the first thing that happens when PMS starts coming almost every day, that's when you have to recognize that I'm probably in perimenopause. So the first thing that happens is that these hormones, these minors, start dipping. When they dip, it raises the majors. So now you can't sleep very well because your cortisol is so high. You're all agitated because your adrenals are so high. You're gaining weight even though you're not eating because your insulin's so high and your thyroid's off because your minors are so low. So how do you fix it? You fix it by replacing the estrogen and progesterone and testosterone that you're missing, and then everything goes back to balance, and now you start sleeping again. Well, think of how much money you actually save. You don't need sleeping pills because your cortisol's down.
Right.
You stop gaining weight for no reason because now your insulin's normalized. Everything starts falling apart when we start declining in hormones. So that would be the first thing relative to aging well, looking down the road. That'd be the first thing that I would do.
Okay.
And then it's the food you choose. At least if you can't afford organic, think about, and I know this is one of your messages, eating real food. Real food. If you can pick it, pluck it, milk it, or shoot it.
I haven't heard the milk it or shoot it one. I might have to borrow that. I promise I'll give you credit for it, though.
I think it helps people get a sense of, they go, well, I eat real food. And I think, do you eat food out of a bag or a box? That's not real.
Yeah.
There's no canola plant. There's no
Cheeto tree.
That's the same plant.
Yeah.
So stick with what nature provided, because we really can't outthink nature. So in Bombshell, Dr. Brzezinski, who's an incredible cancer doctor, he's a scientist. To call him an alternative doctor doesn't do him credit, because he's an orthodox oncologist, but he's also a scientist. He said, we are in control of not getting cancer. How? He said, you have to understand that we have cancer protective genetic switches that get turned off with diet and lifestyle. So if there are five of them.
Is this epigenetics, like when yes. certain foods turn off yes. the various aspects of your genes that trigger cancer or keep cancer at bay? Okay. Perfect. Got it. Sorry. Go on.
So the five are, if you eat non-organic food and food sprayed with pesticides, one turns off. If you clean your house with toxic chemicals, then you can, and you're drinking fluoride, all that, can turn two off. If you don't get proper sleep, you can turn three off. If you don't manage your stress, you can take four off. Most people have all four off, if you think about it. And the fifth one, if your hormones aren't balanced, you turn off the fifth. So now most people are walking around with all their cancer protective genetic switches turned off. I said, can you turn them back on? He said, yeah. He said, the first thing you do is you balance your hormones. And when you balance your hormones, then you can sleep. And when you can sleep, it's easier to manage your stress. And then you're in charge of cleaning out the toxins out of your house and eating food that isn't sprayed with pesticides. And so if you can't afford organic food, just wash it really well, soak it in vinegar, kosher salt, things like that. And if people are looking for a doctor who understands this, because most people read my books and they go, I went to the doctor and the doctor doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There's a website called foreverhealth.com. And what's great about it is you go there and these are vetted doctors who are specialists in bioidentical hormones and in anti-aging medicine. And they will direct you to a doctor in your city or the city nearest you, so that the can't find a doctor is no longer an excuse. So what I realized writing this book was we're in control of our health and we're in control of how we age.
Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about the difference of bioidentical versus synthetic. So the FDA came after you and saying there's no difference and bioidentical is equally dangerous. This is a complete load of crap.
Yes.
Please. I was so furious. It is such a load of bull crap.
Yeah. And not as nice a term.
Please explain the difference to women. And I think when people go, oh, you know, all this hormone stuff, this is so crazy. Well, women have been doing Premarin and all of these menopausal drugs for years. My mom was on them, and I was like, Mom, please, God, please get on Bioidentical. You don't understand how dangerous the synthetic versions are. And can you talk a little bit about the difference and why it's important to choose Bioidentical?
Well, probably your mom went to her doctor, and her doctor said, are you joking? Bioidentical, there's no studies. We don't know the outcome. I think what's happened is because this is not taught in medical school as we speak, we've caught the doctors unaware and they're embarrassed. And so it's real easy to say, what, you're listening to that actress? And that would be me. And
I get you're listening to that trainer, and that would be exactly. That would be me. It's like
the actress and the trainer.
Who, by the way, are talking to doctors who are studying this. That's the part that kills me. I'm like, actually, I'm just saying what the doctor who studies the bioidentical hormones is saying and questioning you about it. But I'm sorry. Anyway, go on.
But, you know, people like to discount those of us who are self-educated. Self-educated
sure
people are the most passionate because we're, what do they call it, autodidactic. We go after the subject that we're passionate about, yours with, you know, health and fitness, and mine in, I guess, health and fitness.
Overall
also.
Wellness, yeah.
It's, you know, I finally am reading 50 Shades of Grey because for the last 15 years, all I've read are science and health books. And I'm having this guilty pleasure of, wow.
You and every other woman I know.
My husband said, what's the big turn on? I said, I don't know. I'm not into handcuffs and things, but it's so interesting.
It's wild. It's out there. Yeah. We'll do a whole nother segment on that.
You could do a convention.
But with the testosterone supplementation, you'll really enjoy the book in a whole different way, I think. Yeah.
Apply before reading. So anyway, the doctors have not studied it. They get approximately 4 hours of instruction in prescribing hormones. 4 hours. So like going to a doctor who hasn't chosen to specialize in bioidentical hormone replacement is like going to a plumber for a heart bypass. They're that out of their scope. There are studies. There are 700,000 Danish women, one study. I have these posted on my blog. There's 250,000 women out of the Mayo Clinic, 85,000 women in the Fournier study in France. There's not one reported case of cancer from bioidentical hormones. Synthetic hormones, there are many, many cases of cancer because synthetic hormones are made from horse's urine. A horse has 34 different estrogens, none of them compatible to a woman.
Thank you.
And when they give a woman Premarin, they've altered the molecular structure on the little bit of estrogen that may find its way into some kind of compatibility, but now you're messing with nature, and any time you mess with nature, it doesn't have a good outcome. And in 2002, the Women's Health Initiative came out and said, relative to synthetic hormones, quote, it would be better for women to take nothing at all than to take these dangerous, harmful, and even fatal hormones. So what all women heard and all doctors heard was, whoa, hormones are dangerous. Synthetic hormones are not bioidentical. Bioidentical is biologically identical to the human hormone, an exact replica of what our body made or still making a little bit of. And what hormone replacement is filling the tank. If you were in your optimal healthy prime when you were at your reproductive peak, that's what you try to replicate because in biology, we're only here for one reason, biologically speaking, and that is to perpetuate the species. And so when we become non-reproductive, i.e. hormonally imbalanced, the brain's job is to get rid of us because we're no longer valuable because we can't perpetuate the species. So you connect the dots in the simplest terms. That's when we get our first cancer. That's when I got my cancer. I got my cancer in perimenopause at a time when doctors would look at my blood test. I didn't even know at that time to test for hormones and go, oh, you're probably in perimenopause. They sort of did that. There was no understanding that actually perimenopause is the most dangerous phase that women go through because we're surging. That's why you get so much PMS right before you really go into perimenopause, because one day your estrogen's real high, one day it's low, one day your progesterone's real high, one day it's low. You know, and we have those feelings. That's the day when you're, you know, want to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Or you want to leave your husband or whatever is going on. And it, like I said earlier, it feels so real.
Sure does.
And I have a great marriage. I've been with him since I was a teenager, and it really works. Our marriage really works. But when I had my 3 years with no hormones before I found this for myself, my husband said to me one day, you know, Suzanne, a marriage can only take so much of this. And I'm not a bitchy person, but I guess because I was so tired, because I couldn't sleep, because I'd be up all night. I was getting an average of 3 hours a night.
Because, oh my gosh.
You're so tired. You fall asleep. You sleep for 15 minutes. You wake up soaking wet. And you get up and you have to dry off and feel terrible. It takes about 3 hours to go back to sleep. And then you sleep for 15 minutes and then you wake up soaking wet. Yeah. That's not one night. That's night after night after night, week after week after month after month. And so when doctors don't take hormonal balance seriously, I just look at them like, you are so out of it. You do not get it because no. That kind of imbalance is suffering. And I think it's why marriages and relationships break up, because you turn into a bitch because your nerves are so jangled. Somebody will say something and that's when you lash out, and then you feel so awful after and you didn't mean it. And you're always apologizing to everybody. So what I've been trying to teach women is pay attention to the language of the body. If you're not sleeping well, that's a language. If you're bloated, that's a language. If you're constipated, that's a language. If you've got strange itches, that's a language. If your vagina is dry, that's a language. If your memory is starting to, you know, you can't remember ends of sentences, it's all a language. And that's when you go to a qualified doctor.
I'm so grateful that you would come on the show and spend this time with us. And the book is Bombshell, Explosive Medical Secrets That Will Redefine Aging. And honestly, wellness.
In
overall,
wellness.
I mean,
it's
like beyond
as the operative word, but
for like immortality, for fighting disease,
yeah,
for inside perhaps. And outside. The stuff in this book is incredible. It's going to revolutionize the way you think, as you always do. You're always on the forefront. You're always pushing the envelope. You're such a pioneer, and you forge ahead for people like myself who get to walk through a door that you blasted open. And I'm so grateful to you. And the fact that you go out on a limb personally and you bring these procedures to America and you put yourself in the crosshairs of the FDA and you challenge these people. I wanted to say another word. I admire the hell out of you for it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Buddy.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, little Missy. Time to take the chuck wagon home. Little
chuck wagon.
Time to ride your pony home, little Missy.
Where does this come from? This like
this is a Western goodbye.
Why?
Well, why not? Why not?
Because it's weird. That's why not.
No, you wanted something friendly.
But this is just weird. And out of left field. And non, like, why a chuck wagon?
Well, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I called you little
See,
Missy.
See, what you're doing is you're using humor to get around the intimacy issue.
Oh,
and just
my
genuinely
God.
Say, thanks so much for listening.
Oh, my God.
We absolutely hate that we have to go now. We're going to miss you until the next show.
That doesn't sound real. Mine sounds more like, well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for pulling up a stool, chewing some chaw with us here at the Jillian Michaels Show.
Chewing some chaw?
Chewing some chaw and have a little...
What's chaw?
Chaw.
Is that tobacco?
Tobacco. You're telling them to chew tobacco with us?
It's just,
what the hell is wrong with you?
You know, just...
Oh, my God. Just, you know what? End the show before she tells them to do cocaine with us. Just end the show. Just end the show. End it.
I'm not saying it was your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, yeah, so... How could this be done? Such a smiling sweetheart. Oh, and your sweet and pretty face is such a lovely way for something so beautiful. Oh, that every time I look inside, I know she knows that I'm not fond of asking. True or false it may be, or she's still out to get me. And I know she knows that I'm not fond of asking. True or false, yeah, baby, she's still out to get me. I may say it was your fault, because I know you could have done more. You're so naive, yeah, so how could this be done? With such a smiling sweet apple. Oh, and your sweet and pretty face is a jealous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.